Dear Lord, we give you thanks because you said you sent your word, and your word delivers from destruction and it brings light. I pray for Will tonight as he brings your word, a word that you've laid on his heart for him and for us, that, Lord, you will bless him and anoint him, and let the words of his mouth and the meditations of all our hearts please you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So we are in our series called Get Off Your Butts. Can anyone remember who the hero of the first talk was 4 Sundays ago? Give you a clue. Son of Thunder, the Encourager, begins with B. Barnabas, that's right. That's right. And so we've been talking about get off our butts, not literally our backsides, but the butts of perhaps why we don't serve more. But I don't have the time, but I don't have the money, all these kind of buts. And, if you're visiting and perhaps you're not a member of the church, this doesn't really, it's not just about church. It's just about serving generally, although for those of us who are part of the church family here, it does have a particular resonance about serving the body of Christ here in church. And really the context of this is something Jesus said. He said, whoever wants to be great must become a servant. The gospel is countercultural. The gospel turns everything on its head. Who would have thought that if you want to become great, you have to be a servant? And why did Jesus tie greatness to serving? It's because greatness is all about making a difference with your life. And the way you make a difference with your life is through serving others at their point of need. And so we kicked our series off with Barnabas. His two buts were, but I don't have enough money, and but I don't have the time. And we saw how he could have sat on either of those buts and then ultimately not even made it into the Bible. And then next we looked at, Max helped us look at our spiritual gifts. And then last week, Keith helped us look at the but that all of us think, feel, and often live by, but don't want to say out loud, which is, but I'm all about me. And today, as we bring the series into land, we've got this one last but to talk about, and then get off of. It's probably really bad English, but anyway, you know what I mean. And here it is, and it's, but what difference will it make? But what difference will it make? And I wonder if you've ever thought of that, if you've ever felt that. The kind of, well, why bother mentality when it comes to serving or doing something. What difference really will it make? What difference will my giving make? What difference will giving my time make? What difference will my showing up to help really make? What's one more person? There's lots of people already doing this. Whatever I do or whatever I don't do, whatever I give or don't give, what difference does my serving, my giving really make? And when you sit on that but, here's what happens. You don't serve. And you don't care that you don't serve, because in your mind, it doesn't really matter. You've rationalized that there's somebody else who's going to be able to do it all. So it's not like it's your problem, because you don't see yourself as the solution. Your money, your time, your service, your involvement, your participation, your volunteering, your gifts, your abilities, in your mind, it kind of won't move the needle. So why bother? So you don't bother. Because you're sitting on the but that says, but what difference will it make? So let's start with a little Bible trivia. There's only 2 miracles that show up in every single account of the life of Jesus in the Bible. Just 2. One is his resurrection. Whew, I'm glad that made it in all of them. But the other one is what we're going to look at now. And it's expressly aimed at today's but. And it's in John chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. And here is what happened. Let's look at it. Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw the miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that for this huge crowd?" "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish. And they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they picked up all the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. In that single event told in every account of the life of Jesus we have, we are given 4 critically important principles about serving. And they all take direct aim at the but what difference will it make? So let's look at those. And they get shorter as I go through, so don't panic after you're looking at your watches after the first one. So the first principle is serving is a life test. Serving is a life test. I don't know if you noticed that as I read the passage. It was tucked away at the very beginning. Let me read it again. "Then they climbed a hill, sat down with the disciples around him, and then turning to Philip, he asked, 'Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?' He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do." And Jesus singles out Philip because he came from the area and he would have known the best place to get food. But we are told specifically that the question was a test. Not just for Philip, but for all of them. Jesus essentially said, "We are surrounded by hungry people in need of food. I think we should serve them now. So how are we going to do it? How are we going to do it?" That was the test. And it wasn't just a test about serving, but about whether they felt that if they did try and serve, whether or not they could actually feed all these people. And let's look at Philip's response, verse 7. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we couldn't have enough money to feed them." It's the truth, isn't it? You know, it's an honest answer. And the kind of translation is, he was thinking, there's no way we can do this. There's no way we can make a difference here. We could work for months and we couldn't even put a dent into this. So why bother? Send the people out on their way. Let them find food for themselves, was probably what he was thinking. But then he promptly sat down on his butt. The butt of, but what difference could it possibly make? But a difference was there to be made, because Jesus was there to go along with whatever was done, whatever was offered, whatever effort to serve there might have been. They just needed to have the faith, the trust that Jesus could be the answer to the need, and through that, have the faith and the trust that if they responded to the need, if they gave to the need, if they invested in meeting the need, if they served at the point of the need, that it would matter. It would make a difference. That what they brought to the serving table would be met by God, honored by God, and then used by God. The choice to serve or not to serve is a life test. A test about whether you think that when you serve God, whether God will show up or not. It's that test, which means that no matter what you do, it will matter. It will have an impact. 30 seconds on Google Translate with some person who's here in a strange land, not speaking a word of English, it will make a difference to that person. It's a test about faith, whether you see serving as simply about what you do or about what God can do through you. So when you don't serve because you don't think it will matter, you're simply removing your life from the adventure of what God is wanting to do in this world. You're removing yourself from the opportunity of making a difference. So that's the first point. That's the first principle, that serving is a life test, and you do not want to fail. So here's the second serving principle. Every size of serving matters. Every size of serving matters. The size, the scope, the range, the amount of whatever it is you're able to bring to the table is not what matters. Bringing what you have is what matters. The power is in the serving. Helping in Brian and Anne's creche on Monday the 10th, just for an hour and a half, may not seem like a lot. But you need to remember that God is going to be there. And it doesn't matter how small your act of service is, it will have a matter. It will matter. The power is in the serving. The power is in the giving. The power is in using God's gift that he has given you to serve. Let's listen again what happened. Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd? Now, they were talking among themselves about how they were going to feed this huge crowd of people. Or more to the point, they were talking about how they were going to be unable to feed this huge crowd of people. And Andrew, another one of the followers of Jesus who was there, said, there's a boy who says he's got some bread and fish. Now, let's just stop there for a moment. I mean, where did this kid come from? How did he even find that kid? Well, I guess they probably showed a little bit of keenness, you know, let's look busy, the boss is watching. Let's fan out and make it look like we're looking for some food, you know, as if we're going to find food for all these people. But just let's look busy. And they might have fanned out and they might have come across this boy. But, you know, perhaps we need to read a little bit between the lines here. What seems to have happened is this boy was probably not too far away, and perhaps he'd witnessed what was going on. There was lots of, you know, where are we going to feed these people? And then, you know, and so he was aware of the need for food, and this wonderful childish naivety took a pace forward and said, look, I can give some people some food. And you just imagine the disciples going, yeah, that's going to be a lot of help, isn't it? But it would be just like what a child would do, wouldn't it? They don't do the maths. They haven't done a head count and thought about the practicality of this. Thousands are hungry. He thinks 2 fish and 5 loaves is going to make a difference. But will that make a difference? Never even enters his mind. And as we know, he was right not to have it enter his mind. And you can just imagine how Jesus must have looked at that little boy. The love, the admiration, marveling at his willingness to give and serve with all he had. Particularly when you think about what that little chap was probably, the life he was probably living. The Bible specifically mentions that what he had were barley loaves. And I didn't know this until I was prepping the talk, but apparently barley loaves were the food of the poor. It was the cheapest type of bread there was. And then also referring to him simply as a boy with some food tells us there was no parents with him, there was no guardian with him, or else it would have been the parents offering the family's food. So there he was, alone, with his little packed lunch, to listen to Jesus. And what we know for sure is that this was a poor boy with a poor boy's packed lunch from a poor background, giving all he had so that others could eat. And to that act of service, Andrew said what most of us would have said: but what difference will this make? Another completely human response. I would have said that. But Lord, what difference is this really going to make? But it is not the size of the act of service that matters, is it? It doesn't matter how small that little boy's act of service was, because Jesus is there. Because what matters is what was on the heart, the spirit, the attitude, the selflessness, the investment. What matters is serving, and that means every size of serving matters. They had no idea what Jesus was going to do with what seemed like such a pathetically small gift. An act of service that in their thinking couldn't possibly make a difference. Jesus knew something that they didn't. Every size of service matters to God, and God will use every size. What do you have right now that Jesus is asking you to bring to him to use? And you're thinking, it's too little. It's too late. I'm too old. I don't have the energy. I'm not good enough. What is it that you have that you don't want to put on the table to let God make use of? Is it your gifts? Is it your abilities? You don't think that you're good enough. Because God is not after your ability. He's after your availability. Is it your money? Do you think because you don't make as much as somebody else, or you don't tithe, that your tithe won't make a difference? Is it your time? You don't think that the odd hour here and there is enough? Do you think that if you try to help somewhere, God won't use what you have to offer? Because if that is what you are thinking, you're going to miss out on what God wants to do through you. Every size of serving matters. And Jesus wants you to know that. Which brings us to the third big principle. Serving is always multiplied. Let me read again what happened. Tell everyone to sit down, Jesus said. So they all sit down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, distributed it. And after he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. 5 little cakes of barley bread and 2 small dried fish fed thousands. The reading tells us there was 5,000 men there. So that could easily have been 15, 20,000, including their families. What you do, how and where you serve, when it is for the cause of Christ and the building of his church, is always used disproportionately. Serving is always multiplied because it unleashes the power of God. He loves showing up and blessing whatever it is you bring to the table, however small, of using it, expanding it, and having it make a difference. Why? Because the heart of a servant reflects the heart of God. And that brings us to the fourth and final principle. No matter what serving might cost you, you cannot outgive God. You can try, but you can't. Did you notice the lovely little detail at the end of what happened that day? We remember a few loaves and some fish. We remember thousands being fed. But did you catch how it all ended? Now, after everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with the scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. 5 loaves and 2 fish resulted in 12 basketfuls of leftovers. And the word used for basket here is referring to one of those, you know, big baskets. It's not just a little tiny little handbag size of basket. It's used elsewhere to mean, you know, one of those really big baskets. Do you think Jesus was trying to make a point here? I mean, he could so easily, couldn't he? I mean, Jesus is God. He can do whatever he wants to do. He could have organized the amount of multiplication of the bread and the fish so that there wasn't a crumb left over. That would have been a really tidy, neat way of finishing this miracle off. But no, it's like 12 basketfuls. 12 big basketfuls of all these leftovers as a sign of God's abundant love. It's amazing. No matter what you think serving might cost you, no matter what you think giving might cost you, no matter what you think getting into the game of giving might cost you, you cannot outgive God. I remember when we were praying for a building in town. I remember it was upstairs in that room, and I said, "This is just like a really, really crazy sort of prayer, and it's not, you know, God's not going to make it happen. But we need somewhere in the middle of town that doesn't really cost us very much that we can run our outreach from." And it was at Prayer and Praise, you know, and we were all sitting around up there. Back in the day, there weren't that many people coming, so we could all fit in that room. Now we meet in the church, and I was kind of embarrassed praying that prayer. And then the following morning, I get a telephone call saying, "Well, I don't know if you've ever heard of the old Red Cross Center in Verney Close, but I was just wondering if the church would be interested in having it on a long lease for whatever purpose you want." I was thinking, wow, but how much is it going to cost us? "Well, we'd have to charge you, you know, a rent for it." I think you're right, here we go, you know. "Yeah, peppercorn rent, pound a year." You know, it's just a sign of God's abundant love and answer to prayer. You cannot outgive God. Because God will always serve you way, way more than you can imagine through the death and resurrection of his son on the cross. What you give through serving, wherever you invest your bread and your fish, will never compare to what you will receive from serving through God's generosity. And really, there's a picture of two different lives here in front of us, each and every one of us. And you don't want to walk away tonight without letting these two pictures penetrate your heart. There's the life that holds on to the 5 little barley loaves and the 2 fish. And the life that is surrounded by basketfuls of leftovers. And the question is, what sort of life do you want? So many people never serve. They never give their life away. They never invested in anything or anyone outside of themselves, which means that they start off with their 5 loaves and 2 old dried fish, and they end up with their 5 loaves and 2 old dried fish. But there's another life that can be lived. A life that gives itself away, a life that invests in making a difference, in serving others, a life that truly throws itself into the cause of Christ and of building up his church, a life that experiences what it's like to get in the game and have God show up and multiply whatever it is, however small our contribution is, thereby giving our lives impact and significance and consequence. Because that's what greatness is. It's making a difference. So the question is, what life do you want? Serving is a life test that you want to pass. And every size and shape of serving matters. And it's always seized upon by God and multiplied in ways we cannot possibly imagine. And we may never even know about this side of heaven. And no matter what serving may cost, no matter the gift of time or money or ability or even blood, sweat and tears, no matter what the price tag is for serving may be, you will always find that you can never, ever outgive God. And I could end with a plug here. You could have had a little bit of paper on your seat saying, you know, these are the rotas that have got empty spaces in them. But that would be, to do that would be to demean the profundity of this message, I think, because it's so much more about bums on seats on rotas in church. But all I will do is just draw your attention to our tube map, which is on the wall at the back. I think it's also on our website, might be /tube or something like that, which will just show you all the different ministries that we run here. And I have no doubt that the Holy Spirit, if you approach that prayerfully, the Holy Spirit will guide you to a place where you can help and deliver your loaves and fishes. And then you can get off the butt of, but what difference can I make? We're going to have a time of ministry after communion, but actually responding to that talk through the bread and the wine, perhaps I should have brought some fish along tonight as well, I hope will really speak to you. So let me close with a prayer now, and then we're going to stand and we're going to share the peace, and then we're going to head into a time of gathering around the Lord's table for the Lord's Supper. So Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for that Bible passage, which has so much to teach us, but thank you for the way it just shows us that the way that boy just brought all he had, as small as it was, how he laid it at the Lord's feet and put it at the Lord's disposal, and how it was multiplied. Lord, let that be a lesson for each and every one of us. And I pray, Father, that by your Spirit you would be touching our hearts tonight to encourage us, perhaps if we aren't serving at the moment. And it may not be a season for serving, but there might be just one little us-shaped place that we can serve a group or a ministry here in church to make a difference for your kingdom's sake. Amen.